Good morning, everyone. Good to see you. Hey, that sounds good. I remember a minister that came to the Orinda area, and he Oakland area, and he taught the people how to respond to the minister that gets up and says something. That was good. I want to say hi to everybody on the internet. I can think of some of the friends that stayed home this year. Hi to you on the internet if you're tuning in, and hello to the overflow room if you're tuned in. I bet you are. Hope you are. And I want to thank whoever set up the stage area. Thanks so much, whoever did that. My wife and myself were living down on the lake, and we've seen plenty of deer. And we were thinking about bringing, or I was thinking about bringing a live deer in. And Terry says, "Don't do that, Tom." I know you wives and husbands can think like that. You know, it's about the end of the feast now, and people are starting to become accustomed to their rental cars and starting to become accustomed to the place they're living in, and they know how to turn this, that, and the other. And I was talking with, I think it was a Mr. Richard Kennedy from the San Francisco Bay Area, and he's saying, "Well, it's time to go home," and you figure it all out. But I think God actually knows. This is about it, right? 7 days, and then an extra day, that's plenty for us. That's what we need, and God gives us wisdom. Wisdom, and we've been picking up wisdom for this last year. I was thinking about the prologue we heard. Mr. Light, at the beginning of the Feast of Tabernacles, gave us a prologue, where we've been as the human race and where we're going, and some of the messages that have come out. I was thinking of Mr. McLean telling us how to end the war, end war in three easy steps, right? But they make sense. You know, get rid of Satan, or you can go over your notes. They make sense. And then we talked a little bit about peace in the family, rejoicing, what we should be doing, and I'll leave it to Mr. McLean, or rather Mr. Light, to give us the epilogue tomorrow. He can go over some more messages. Just before I get going, I want to mention, I was talking with someone in the hall, I mentioned I'm a structural engineer, I'm way past retirement age, but I enjoy what I'm doing, and I know there's some out in the audience that are still working too. I have run a small business in the San Francisco Bay Area specializing in remodels. And as it was mentioned, I came into the church about 50 years ago. We are plain people. We are plain people pitching in, doing what I'm doing what other speakers do, the pianist, the people who sing special music in the choir. I know some of the ones sitting out there that are speaking in the choir. We're plain people putting together, pitching in, do what we can to obey God and improve. We're here to celebrate the future. And I hope you've enjoyed some of the day as well. We're here to celebrate the future. And I have a short message, not a lot of scriptures, a few scriptures, and I'd like to leave you with an idea today, an idea that you can take home. This is the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, tomorrow, the great day, I'll reiterate, an idea that you can take home and use. We are different cultures, rather different backgrounds. We all speak English. There's a few that speak other languages. But we're all of the same Americanism, if you know what I mean. We're grown up in the United States. But I remember years ago, I was part of the American Peace Corps, as some of you know. And I remember living in Nepal, north of India. The capital is Kathmandu. And before I went over there with the American Peace Corps, I learned the language and the alphabet. It's not ABCs. If you see Hindi, it's different, completely different. Instead of saying, "Hello, everyone," they will say, "Namaste," and bow their heads. It's normal. I remember living there and being out in a hill school. I was a teacher for a while, science and math teacher, coming into Kathmandu, and the ambassador invited all the Americans over to the American embassy to enjoy a party. And it was so refreshing. You know what when I was living out in the hills as a teacher, they had a nickname for the sleeping bag. It was called the blue cocoon. Yeah, the blue cocoon, because you could go into it, zip it up, and you're kind of someplace else. But I remember going into the ambassador's house in Kathmandu and enjoying being with other Americans speaking English. You don't dare eat a cow, right? You could eat a water buffalo, bison, and eat it like a hamburger. But people were Americans there. We were part of the American embassy. The ambassador was there. And those of you who remember years ago, Worldwide Church of God had what was called Ambassador College for a reason. And ABC, what we have now, United Church of God, is Ambassador Bible College, right? I remember what they could have named it. They could have named it anything, right? I was just thinking, Bible College 7777, right? Seven's the complete number. They could have named it Home of the Saints. Or for you out there that I've met a few younger people, you parents who have perfect children, they could have named it The Perfect College. But no, they named it Ambassador College because ambassador rings out something, is something of another place, another country. Title to my message this morning is Ambassadors of Another Dimension. Ambassadors of Another Dimension. This message will focus on an idea. We are ambassadors of another world. And we're going to be taking a look at three areas today. I'll keep it simple for the short message I have. Number one, what the Bible actually says. We, as Bible readers, believe, we prove, number one, that God exists, and then that the Bible is an instruction book for us. And then we go about trying to figure out what it says. Well, I'm going to talk about what the Bible actually says, and I'm going to talk about, and this is important, limitations. Limitations this world places on people. And lastly, what we can do, our job as ambassadors in another world, what we can do. You know, according to the Oxford Dictionary, an ambassador is an accredited diplomat sent as an office representative to a foreign country. We, in fact, are accredited diplomats sent into this world from another place. We've never been there, but we represent another place. So let's take a look. If you could turn with me to 2 Corinthians, number 1. 2 Corinthians. Let's go to chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And as we've heard, if you slip back into the old, you're not new anymore. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That's getting back together. That's you're apart, and now you're getting back together. God wants to reconcile us. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And here it comes in verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And we understand that Paul was writing that letter to the Corinthian church, But I believe by extension, we're all ambassadors in your own place. We are ambassadors. If you could turn over to Mark 10, Mark chapter 10, it's a story of Jesus and a rich man. And Mark 10, verse 1, it says, "Then he arose from there and came to the region of Judea by the other side of the Jordan. And multitudes gathered to him again, as he was accustomed. He taught them again. The Pharisees came and asked him, 'Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?' Testing him." People wanted answers. And Jesus represented something else, something that they're not accustomed to. Is it okay for a man to divorce his wife? Something is from another place. Go down to verse 29. It says, "So Jesus answered and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, there's no one who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and lands.'" That's us. We're sharing each other's company. "With persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." That is not normal. I live across the street from a cemetery, and I often walk over there. I used to go over there with the grandkids. You know, the grandkids don't know when they're young. We used to go over there, and I called it the flower garden. And we enjoyed the flower garden, right? And they didn't know it. And it was so much fun. But there are tombstones there of people. Tombstones there from people of World War II. There's a fellow, he survived the Holocaust. He's got his number on there. And I remember reading the book, many of you have read it, about what it was like to be in the Holocaust. People live from day to day. This world is different. God is offering us eternal life. Death is part of this world. We become accustomed to it. If you take a look, go back to Mark 10, verse 25. I'm going to point something out. Mark 10, 25. It says, "Children," let's see, "how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." How can a camel go through the eye of a needle? The people standing there said, "What is going on? What are you talking about? How can anybody have eternal life?" And he says, "With men it is possible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible." I'd like you to take that home with you. With God, all things are possible. Jesus said it, you can take it to the bank, right? It sounds like all things, no limits, like infinity and beyond. You know, I've seen the Toy Story, and some of you may have, there's a robot or something on the Toy Stories, and he says, "Infinity and beyond." Kids think like that. You know, toys come to life. Anything is possible. So, the Bible talks about us being ambassadors, and the world Jesus came from seems to be without limits. Let's take a better look at that. Eternal life is life without limits. Is there something different here? That leads me to the second point I'd like to focus on. The first area is what the Bible actually says. The second area is we're going to unpack that, and we're going to focus on limitations. Limitations put on people. And we think, mostly, we're not too limited here. You can enjoy yourself. I'm part of a work going on in West Africa. Mr. Light mentioned the English-speaking West Africa, and I deal with West Africa on the French-speaking side. That's what Mr. Pebworth, who is our new chairman, he deals with the French work. France, he's over there at the feast in France right now, but he also deals with little countries, Côte d'Ivoire or You think of it as Ivory Coast and Benin. Let me tell you about Benin. In Benin, they say there's around 55 languages. You can Google it and check it yourself. But the major language is French in Benin. Okay. There's only about half the people that are literate. And of women, there's less. There's only about a third of the women can read and write. Think about that. You're sitting there, only half the people, the person next to you may be able to read, and maybe they won't. And the one person can read and one person can't. And these are people just like us. They're part of the church. The church is growing over there. Women are limited, especially because they don't have enough money to go to primary school where they're going to learn to read. Limited. Can you imagine trying to drive a car and you can't read street signs? You couldn't drive. If parents will have six kids, for example, they will send the males as they can afford to school so that they can learn something. And then the females don't learn. They end up not knowing how to read. They live their life like that. The males can earn money to chip back in easier. They are limited. And I say, and I think you agree with me, that illiteracy limits people. It puts a hamper on people so that they can't improve and grow. Think about the literature we get. You open it up and you just read it, and someone else has done all the work, and it's out there on the information table, and you can just read it. It's so easy, isn't it? But in other countries, it's not like that. Around the world, people are limited. It's like carrying a 50-pound ball and chain with you all the time. Limited. And we can think, well, we're here. We're here today, you and me. We're enjoying ourselves, and that's over there in Africa. And over in Africa, they're doing whatever they're doing over there, and we're enjoying ourselves. But hold on. Think about up here in Klamath Falls, it's one thing. But if you go down to the Bay Area, young couples try to buy a house. Wow. Try to buy a house. Talk about finances limiting people. I remember my wife and I, our first house, I read a book in Australia. It was called No Money Down. And I bought a house, No Money Down. Yeah. I think we took at least a dumpster or two of rotten wood out of that place. It was the worst house in the worst neighborhood. In order to get out of the limitation that is put on people, you got to take extraordinary means. With God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. Greed limits people. Satan limits people. Greed is one of the killers that limit people. I'll tell you another one. Injustice. In our society, not over in Africa, here in you and me, if this country started out, it was great, wasn't it, when it started out, and how they're going to have the different branches of the government, the executive, you know, and the judicial. And judges today have so much, that's the word today, so much on their plate, they can't deal with things. I know a guy that cost him over $100,000, and he was right. And the other person was wrong, but the other person knew that they can work it around. And judges don't, they got so much paperwork, they can't get through it all, so they throw it back to the attorneys, and the country is limited. Injustice. I'll give you one more. Freedom. If you think of the Holocaust, I used to wonder, why did Germany hate the Jews so much? And why did they do what they did back in, you know, World War II? It's going to happen again. Get ready. It's going to happen again. I don't know if it's in our lifetime or not. I remember looking into it, if you steal everything that someone has, you have money to fight the war. If you get rid of them, you know what I mean? And you got money to fight the war. And if you enslave them, if they're limited with slavery, you got money to fight your war because they work for free. It's part of this world we're living in. We are limited. We are limited. So what can we do? You think about the limitations going on and where we are in life and what we can do. That's the last area I'd like to talk about today. What is our job as ambassadors? What can you and I take home? What can we take home? This is the last day of the feast. You want to take home? What can you do? You can't fix the world. And you can't fix the ambassadors don't deal with politics, right? And there's an election coming up. I'm glad I don't have to deal with this. You know, everyone has their own ideas on that, I know. But ambassadors don't get involved in local politics, whatever the politics are. And you can extend that. You can extend that in your own situation. You can't fix everything. The economy in Nigeria, you know, the illiteracy in Benin. And you can help. You can help Mr. Light, Mr. Moody, or Mr. Pebworth. You can help in little ways as you can, and people are helping, but you can't change the big picture. What can you do in the space each of you is in? What can you do? Remember, with God, all things are possible. Some of what is not possible for other people is possible for us. With God, all things are possible. And you don't want to limit yourself if God hasn't limited you. And I'm going to get to that. I'm going to have a biblical example. You can turn back to Genesis. We're going to take a look at one biblical example on that in a few minutes. Don't limit yourself if God hasn't done so. And sometimes you can think you're limited, but you're not. Take a look at Joseph. This is an excellent story. I'm so glad it's recorded for us thousands of years ago. The story of Joseph, you know, what he did, he was flying high, and then he got sold into slavery, then into Potiphar's house, and then he got into trouble with the wife, and they sent him to prison. And pick it up in Genesis 39 and verse 20. 39 verse 20. It says, "Then Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in prison." It's quite flat. We were, not too long ago, I was in an emergency room and seeing how people are limited with where they think they are and what they could actually do, and they don't understand it. But let's keep going with Joseph here. He says, "He was there in prison, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison." That's you and me. You may be in a situation when you go back and you're limited, but maybe God gives you favor. "And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison, whatever they did there. It was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him. Whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper." And God can do that to you too. You may go back and you may have a limitation, but it may seem like a limitation, but don't put it in your mind. With God, all things are possible. God, all things are possible. I remember, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about what you can do. I remember when I was that high school teacher in Nepal, and I remember the people asking me when I first came there, "Can you take me home with you? Please take me back to the United States with you," because they wanted a better place. One of the best things I could do at that time was to be there, and people could see me and talk to me and get a taste of something else. I drove a car. I knew what it was like. I knew what it was like to own a car. I did other things too that they do. We take for granted here. I just did them. And people would come up to me and say, "Hey, you know, tell us about this and that and the other thing." And just being where you're at, an ambassador from another dimension. You give people hope. Hope is priceless. It's one of the big three, remember? Hope is priceless in a hopeless world. There's a definite benefit to being around a true Christian. A true Christian will give you hope and give you ideas that you never thought of because they're not limited as others are. There's going to be a big need in the future. You know, planet Earth is big. It's so difficult sometimes to get somebody to do something. People learn how to do things. One thing you can do is get ready. So spread hope and get ready for the future, just being what you are. And I would like to read you a phrase from a free pen. I'm taking home lots of souvenirs. You know, the table out there has got souvenirs on it. They're mostly gone now. But somebody brought pens, and there's a little something on a pen that I want to read to you. It says, "May you be proud of the work you do, the person you are, and the difference you make." I'll read it one more time. "May you be proud of the work you do, the person you are, and the difference you make." Thank God for what He's done in your life and what He's doing through you. Just by people being around you, you spread hope to others. So, in a nutshell, what we talked about today, we're here to celebrate the future, and we can be part of God's foreign service, and we truly are ambassadors of another dimension, another way, some other place that it's not of this world. A world fundamentally different from this one. We are ambassadors of another dimension, and you don't want to limit yourself if God doesn't limit you. We are ambassadors of a world without limits. Remember, with God, all things are possible. Don't limit yourself if God hasn't done so. With God, all things are possible. Hope you have a good remainder of the today and the day tomorrow.